Well, good morning to you, and the blessings of our Lord be with you on this day, and blessings in our continue as we come in, and we have to still get to be together, and yet we have to separate, and we appreciate that not only separate by pews, but separate by staggering. That really helps in the situation. Today, we will have the order of service, and we do have communion. Several things is that we don't have an usher, so what I do is we simply have you go from the front pews and work your way back. Keep your 6 feet distance. When you do come up here, I will be right here, if you weren't here last week, and a family can stand together, and I will give you the body, and then if you're on this side, you'll go to the elder that's over there. If you're on this side, you go to the elder over there. I will be wearing a mask, and so will they, during this time. Also to note, too, that we have the communion, which is at 9:30 to 10:10, for those who are not able to be here but are live streaming it, and yet still want communion, they can drive up, and we'll give them communion, kind of like we did the other week, too. And that's between 9:30 and 10:10. One of the other things is, for those who are watching, is that we will continue to have the live streaming through the service of the Word, which is that first portion. But when it comes to the service of the Eucharist, the part of the after the organ voluntary, we'll stop the live streaming. And that gives us free movement to come up this way. So you know, and the Lord's peace be with you at that time. Several other things you might note is that Olive Graham, if you didn't see that, had passed away last Monday. She will have a service, a funeral service will be this Thursday, but it's for family only at this time. We will do a memorial service sometimes later, hopefully into the summer, early fall. And we'll have a memorial service where family and friends can gather together at that time. It is not ideal what we want, and yet we rejoice in the blessing that the Lord has gathered one of his own once again into his arms, into his realm. And she gets to see the Lord face to face. So we give thanks for that. We'll be following the order of service. Everything that you need should be in the bulletin printed there. I ask that you take the bulletin with you because we can't reuse those. And take those with you and you can recycle those at home. Good to see you. The peace of our Lord be with you on this day. Peace. invite you to stand and continue with the divine service for. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We speak the intro. We speak the intro by half verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Forever, O Lord, your word. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. By your appointment they stand this day. For if your law had not been my delight, I will never forget your precepts. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 17. This also serves our sermon text this day. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers also conversed with them. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus in the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know that this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what things these things mean." Now, for all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived where they would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all to mankind life and breath and everything. And he made them from one man, every nation of mankind, to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, in the hope that they might feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of you, of your own poets, have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then from God's offspring, we ought to think of that divine being as like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and the imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed the day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. We speak the gradual together. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 3. "Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of the dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him." This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, and we sing the Alleluia and its verse. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but will see me. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before the worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, begotten among the substance of the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified also for us, Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again from the Scriptures and ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son together worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life in the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We sing hymn 394, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise. 394, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise. grace, mercy, and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be to you, dearly beloved of the Lord. Pentecost Day, which is coming up. But Pentecost, we can see in the book of Acts, and he had said they would be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the world beyond. And as you move through Acts, you can watch as they start in Jerusalem, and the gospel of Jesus Christ spreads out more and more. That it spreads out, as the Lord had said, by the work of the Holy Spirit. That the unknown would become known. Today we come to Paul. And to set up where Paul is, we want to take a look at chapter 17. We realize that Paul was going, this is his second missionary journey. And he's going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what we're going to see is how he ended up where he is, because it starts off the phrase that we start with. It says, now, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens. Well, why was he waiting there? Well, it starts back even before this, but we'll just start with the beginning of chapter 17. Paul is going to proclaim Jesus Christ, and he goes to Thessalonica. And in Thessalonica, what does he find? He does what he usually does. He goes to the synagogue, and it tells us he spent 3 days there, or three Sabbaths, going and discussing with them each time. To take what was there in the scriptures and to open their eyes that they may see. And it even tells us, and from scripture explaining, providing that it was necessary that Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, and did great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. But, here it comes, but the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob and set the city up in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out of the crowd. And they couldn't find him. And so they drug out Jason, and you can read about what that. They were sent, and they left there, and they went to Berea, and then they go to Berea, and what happens there? They immediately sent Paul and Silas by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue. And there the Jews, more noble than those in Thessalonica, they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see these things were so. And many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But, here we go again, but the Jews of Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea, and so also they came there to agitate and stir up the crowds. They were so jealous they couldn't take it, so then they go to Berea. And Paul sent away by the way of the sea. And he goes by the way of the sea, and he would have pulled into the port of Athens, and there you would have seen masts from all over the Mediterranean. People from everywhere gathered to this cultural center of Athens. And not only this cultural center, but this place where knowledge was sought after, and the great philosophers had come from there. Many had come and been there, and they would seek things new, and they would argue and talk about them. Well, Paul goes to Athens and says, now Paul was waiting for them in Athens. And this wasn't part of his plan. But it says, then the Spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city full of idols. And so guess what Paul did? He took advantage of the time that he had. Wasn't in the plan. Wasn't part of it. But he goes to the synagogue and he reasons with the Jews and devout persons. And then it says, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Do you know those places where people happen to be? The place you work? The places you eat? The places where people happen to be, sometimes your own home, family reunions? Places people happen to be, whether it's in the hospital as you lay in the bed, there are people that show up there. Well, Paul took advantage of that time and that place. And he started to reason with them and proclaim to them Christ. Well, others heard this. Some of the Epicureans and the Stoics, these are a form of philosophy, were conversed with him, and some, what does this babbler wish to say? And others said, he seems to be preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took hold of him, and they took him to Areopagus, saying, that's Mars Hill, that's where the Parthenon sits. You enter the city, and it's somewhat of a plain and raises up, and then about 4.5 miles in is this large hill, probably about 400 feet high, just raising right up in the middle of that. And they take him there. And may we know this new teaching that he's presenting, the strange to our ears. And it even tells us now all the Athenians and the foreigners who live there would spend their time in nothing except telling or in hearing something new. And then Paul took advantage of the place. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said. Now this isn't the first time somebody stood in the middle. It's called the stone of impotence. And you stand there and you are judged right there. Socrates was judged there. They said he too had a foreign god, and he was judged there, and he was condemned. But what's he about to do? You see, he had been in Athens, and it's funny that they should say a foreign god, because you see, Athens, they say, had 3,000 statues to gods, not including the ones in the homes. Do you ever stand in the midst of idols? How many of you go to school? How many have their idols that may not be a statue, but it may be something else that people look to for their good and for their protection? How many of you go to the workplaces? How many of you go shopping? There are all kinds of idols to us. We're just used to them. When we say idols, we think of somebody making a statue, but that's not an idol. Certainly that's part of it, but what it is that people putting their trust in something else other than the true God. Whatever you put your trust in, whatever you look to your good of your heart, that is your God. And so many of them are idols. But Paul stands there and he reasons with them in their midst, standing right in the middle of them. And he said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. I observed it. I can tell you are very religious people. Today, when you witness, I think there's something you can see about America. We are a very spiritual people. They really are. Of course, it may be spiritual in the sense of rocks, crystals, angels, meditation, in the Eastern sense. But Paul uses it now as a touch point to make connection with them. And those who remember a missionary who came here some years ago, Brad was his first name, Aldridge, who came some years ago, that's one of his questions, or one of the things he said. When he greets people, he would say, I notice you're very spiritual. He didn't say, I notice you're very religious. He said, I notice you're very spiritual. He made a connection with them there where he could find where they were. So Paul says, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For I passed along and observed the objects of your worship. I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Just in case we don't have our bases covered with 3,000 statues, besides what we have in our homes, there's this unknown God. Reminds me of an old joke of the guy who jumped out of the plane and he had every symbol that you could have of all the religions to cover his bases, just in case. But there is a truth that there is an unknown God. That's the world. That's even for our own self. We would never truly know who God is and was unless it is revealed and showed to us. Corinthians tell us what no eye can perceive, no mind, no eye has seen, whatever it is. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Except for by the Holy Spirit. But they admit it. They admit that God for them, they know a God exists, they just don't know who he is. So guess what Paul does? Takes advantage of the situation. You don't know who the unknown God is? I'll tell you who the unknown God is. That's one of the things about witnessing that we do is oftentimes you find a connection that you can find. Something, some touch point, something that you have familiar and you change it around. There's this group that witnesses to the Mormons, and one of their big things is there's a Bible passage that the Mormons really hold on to, and they quote it a lot. So this group uses that Bible passage to make their first connection with them. There are others that we can find that do the same thing. It's just in a different way. And part of that is learning. And by the way, Paul, as he learned in Tarsus, would have known these Greek philosophers. He would have known the people they are facing. But anyways, we go on. So he goes on, he takes advantage of that unknown God. That God you don't know, let me tell you who he is. You recognize that he exists, this is good. But he goes on to let them know. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor be served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all mankind life and breath and everything. Where does he go? First, he goes to the God of creation, first article. And he speaks to him about that. He's the one who created. You realize you don't know anything. And by the way, you don't know who this unknown God is. And you grope in the darkness to figure out who he is. I'm going to tell you who he is. Paul was letting them also know their condition. You see, there was a preacher almost 100 years ago. One of the things that he had said was that they were like the plant. Or just the opposite of a plant. If you watch a plant as it grows and you put it in darkness and there's light, what does it usually do? Reaches for that light. He said human beings are just the opposite. We're in darkness and we want to crawl back into it. Much like John said about the darkness and the light. That's our spiritual nature. That we are seeping in sin and in darkness. So by nature, we can't find it out this way. But he goes on to say that he has made everything. And, well, I better go a little further. And he made, served a human being since he himself gives mankind life and breath and everything. So there's the creation. And he made him from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries for of their dwelling place. By the way, this is one of them where what they would see is whatever god you were in. They may well see that there you come from them, that's your creation. And they would start distinguishing between people. You follow them, you follow them, I'm better than you. By the way, that's what we call end up calling racism. But what does Paul say here? Oh, no. No, see, there is one God, and he created all things, and he created everyone through that one nation. All come. See, as Christians, we have no room for racism, do we? Because we all come from Adam and Eve. Raise your hand if you didn't come from Adam and Eve. I noticed no one. Does it matter what color your skin is? Does it matter what color your eyes are, your hair? Paul says, no, we're all from one. Now, that's just in the created order. But he goes on. And made one every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, living determined that they should seek God. So there was a purpose that we would seek God. That nature itself declares that there is a God. Something that is all-powerful, something that may be all-knowing. That they may feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he actually is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets said, for we are indeed his offspring. He said it so that we could know him. But even by nature, Romans tells us we have no excuse. We can see that there is a God. Romans 1, you can read it. But the problem is that God still is unknown in his full nature. He's not like gold or silver. He's not the image of man. In other words, dear people, realize this. This is our nature. We grope in the darkness. It's unknown to you. We can find those idols everywhere for them and even ourselves, and we can even find the idols that we have in our own hearts. But there's something more you need to know. This unknown God that I made known to you in verse 30, the times of ignorance of God overlooked, but now commands all people of earth to repent. Tau is the time of repentance. There are no excuses. God's word has been revealed to you and to me that we may know the unknown God. Without this, guess what? God is still unknown. But with this, we may know him better. And then Paul takes it to the point that we all need to take it to, the Jesus point. Because up to that, we can talk about creation, we can talk about created God, we can talk about the unknown God. All those are touch points, but that's not where we stay. We need to come to the Jesus point. Remember last week, what did we learn? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. There are times where I've started with people and I may witness to them and we start our conversation, but that's exactly what it is, just a start until I can get it to that Jesus point. And that's when he says, after calling us to repentance because he has fixed the day for the judgment, he lets us know that. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now, he brings us out of the spiritual blindness, out of the spiritual darkness, and calls us to the light of Jesus Christ. Because there is the hope. And if you really want to know who God is, you have to look at Jesus. We talked about it last week in the gospel lesson, and we see it again. We preach Christ and him crucified. For those idols that people have, for the idols that we have in our hearts, we repent. And then Jesus. And Jesus, that's that salvation, that Redeemer who takes us from this. Paul took every opportunity he had, or many opportunities, and we see this. We're told in our text in the 1 Peter, how does it say it? Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for your reason for the hope that is within you. The hope that is within you is a hope that's been poured into you through God's word and is in Jesus Christ. Too many times we see people and we're too concerned about what they will think or that we will drive them away. Scripture makes it clear in Corinthians that Jesus Christ and Him crucified is a stumbling block for the Jews and an offense to the Greeks. Jesus will offend people. On that day He went to Mars Hill, there were those who believed. There's those who wanted to hear more. We'll hear more later kind of idea. Problem was, there was no later. Paul left it. He didn't come back. For many others, they tossed him aside. But it wasn't Paul they were rejecting. It was Jesus. And Jesus is that unknown God that is now known and is the true hope for you and for me. In the midst of anything that we face, anything that we go through, a time for witness and truth. And sometimes truth is the hardest to face. But as we see, the truth that we face is Jesus. And He is life eternal. He is life eternal, and He is salvation for each and every one of us. He is Jesus, the known God, who has shown Himself and given Himself to you and to me in word and sacrament. He is the God who is near at hand and is never far off from us and provides for us, cares for us, and loves us. If you want someone to know who God is, then it's Jesus who we come to know. Paul didn't stop there. He went on for more journeys and more people. People who would reject what was said and those who would receive it with great joy. On our journey in life, we have people who will receive the word of the Lord and reject it, and others who will receive Christ and rejoice. And our prayer is for that true witness of Jesus, that others may know Him in His love, His compassion, and His forgiveness. In His name we pray. Amen. At this time, we have our prayers of the church, and I invite you to stand, and we add to our prayers the Reverend George Rademuller, who was in the hospital and has been released and is recovering. I invite you to stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the faithful proclamation of Jesus Christ to those who do not know Him, that through the hearing of the word, the Lord may be brought to faith and to the knowledge of the truth. Let us pray to the Lord. For the church of God here and everywhere, and all we who confess Jesus Christ may be united in doctrine and witness, defended against all the assaults of the enemy, and eager to gather together around your word and sacrament in love for one another. Let us pray to the Lord. For this congregation, for the work in the kingdom in our community, for the resources to accomplish all that God desires, that His name may be glorified among us and His purpose fulfilled in our words and works. Let us pray to the Lord. for the agencies and institutions through which we love our neighbor and provide for those in need, for the destitute and homeless, for everyone who suffers unemployment and underemployment, that we may aid them in their needs and assist them to find honorable labor to supply all their needs. Let us pray to the Lord. For the lonely, who suffer the burdens of life without friendship or family, for those depressed or weary of pandemic measures, for the fellowship of the church, that we may bear one another's burdens and live in community with Christ as our head. Let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and those who suffer, we especially pray for those recovering from surgery, including George Rademuller, Miriam, Archie, Keith, Norma, Lou, Roger, Lynn, Emma, Carol, Pollyanne, Kira, Barbara, Betty, Sophia, Larry, Don, Richard, Kayla, Sue, Bob, Jim, Leslie, Ray, Ralph, Robin, Beth, Linda, Bob, Phyllis, and Jane. For those contending with health issues, including Erica, Jeff, Ken, Nicole, Arla, David, Russell, Amy, Sammy, Carol, Brandon, Alvin, Yvonne, Farah, Michelle, Lee, Michael, Julia, Jessica, Dick and Jane, Charlene, Weston, Tabitha, Clara, Lavono, Jessica, Mary Margaret, Emma, Alicia, Faith, Kylie, Mary, Arlene, Blake, Roberta, Bill, Shirley, Kaylee, Emma, Sarah, Anthony, Brady, Rowena, Sharon, Chelsea, and Ruth Ann. For those managing the effects of cancer, including Marriott, Beth, Stephanie, Connie, Joanne, Thatcher, Ron, Jennifer, Jerry, Brianna, Linda, Lois, Jamie, David, Renee, Tom, Stephanie, Shelley, Susan, Todd, Anna, Fran, Rachel, Teresa, Nancy, Sue Ellen, Sonia, Frank, Larry, Judy, Carl, Donna, Amy, Susan, Kent, Al, Bethany, and Jane. That God would grant them healing to their bodies, peace to their minds, consolation to those in griefs and sorrows, especially for the family of Olive and Jim. Let us pray to the Lord. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You may be seated. And to the rest, the peace of the Lord be with you as you depart from us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to our flesh, and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord. Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For Christ our Passover Lamb has been sacrificed by his death. He has redeemed us from the bondage to sin and death, and by his resurrection has delivered us into new life in him. Grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body and giving his death and drinking his life's blood, poured out for our salvation, and we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night which he was betrayed, took bread. When he given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take heed, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ spring and preserve you in the body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.